everyone. I'm Gary Noll. Today we're going to talk about how a high-fat diet, that's the average American diet, activates early inflammation in your brain. And that's linked to neurological disease. Also, we're going to talk about how the effects of abdominal massage applied with ginger and lavender oil for if you're a senior citizen can relieve constipation. Something people have, they don't always know what to do about it. And study shows the link between regular attendance at religious services and health and living a longer life. So take that, Professor Harari, who believes that there is no such thing as the spirit. Also, the efficacy of various forms of acupuncture for urinary incontinence in women and turmeric. And it's very important for rheumatoid arthritis, more so than any of the pharmaceutical approaches. So why aren't all the rheumatologists suggesting it? This is just some of what we're getting to today. We begin with a study from the University of Michigan. They discovered that a high-fat diet promotes an early inflammatory response in the brains of mice through an immune pathway linked to diabetes and neurological diseases, suggesting a possible bridge between metabolic dysfunction and cognitive impairment. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Frontiers in Immunology. They analyzed activation of what is called the GAS/STING, the gas sting immune pathway in a high-fat diet in this model, and how it determines prediabetes, cognitive impairment, or even dementia. So one of the things that we have realized, those of us who actually work with individuals in the field, is that you have to be very conscious of what a person's diet has been until they have seen you. Mind you, when someone sees you, that's not what they are in that moment. That's the total sum of all the choices they've made up to that point. So which of those choices have contributed to them being where they're at today? And it's a high-fat diet. I'm sure many of you remember growing up, what gave food its taste was fat. And hence, the French fries loaded with fat and crisp with all the salt on, well, there's high blood pressure, might have tasted good, but wasn't good for you. And then you had the beef, and everything was cooked with lard and lots of it. And then the cheesecake with lots of cream cheese, lots of fat there. So just understand all the fat we've been taking and the way we've been taking and how we have sourced it contributes to what this study is showing: dementia, cognitive impairment, and blood sugar imbalances, or leading to pre-diabetic conditions. So just something to be attentive to. Now, a lot of people suffer from constipation. I remember when I did a debate on national television. It was on ABC out of Chicago, and I debated one of the top people at the AMA. And in that debate, it was about fiber. And I still have the clip. And the doctor representing Orthodox medicine at the highest levels, AMA, and I had a whole folder that I took with me to the debate, and I had all these full-page ads from the Journal of the American Medical Association for smoking. Doctors recommended cigarettes, and every kind of cigarette. I must have had 7 different types of cigarettes, Camels and Chesterfields and Lucky Strikes and Marlboro, and full-page ads. And in every one, it was talking about how doctors recommend these to do things such as soothe your throat. No, it creates throat cancer. It doesn't soothe anything. But they could lie and get away with it. And they did all the time. So I wanted to give this, not to embarrass the person. I wasn't going to do it on television. I don't believe in ambush journalism. But afterwards, I handed it to him. And I said, you do realize in the basement of the AMA headquarters in Chicago here where we're at, you have a secret department of investigations. And that secret department of investigations has been there for 25 years. headed by two people, Doyle Taylor and Rockthorpe Morton. And here's just one comment from Rockthorpe Morton, quote, this was gotten under discovery in a lawsuit. We will let chiropractic wither and die on the vine. And other letters showing how they had interfered. So going to a chiropractor, you couldn't get insurance to cover it because it was an unscientific cult. Literally, they called it an unscientific cult. No, orthodox medicine was an unscientific cult created by the Rockefellers. And chiropractic was legitimate healing therapy. And all the chiropractors won. They did something bold. Five chiropractors, after reading the material that I had written based upon information from a private source, who to this day I don't know who it was, but he or she leaked this information to me in envelopes that would appear when I would go downstairs in the morning at my the desk. I would be handed this. And there was no fingerprints also because we tried that. I had a friend. He said, let's just see if there's fingerprints. There's no fingerprints. And nothing was written. It was typed. But it was all about, there's a secret cabal that runs all of orthodox medicine, and they're attacking all alternative therapy. Anything like homeopathy, naturopathy, chiropractic, acupuncture, anything that actually works and doesn't hurt the patient is being attacked. And here's who's doing it, and here's how they're doing it, and here's where they're doing it. And when the suit came, it was over 1 million documents uncovered under discovery. And in there was every little dirty trick they could do, they did. Chiropractic was literally dying. And had that lawsuit not occurred, had the articles in Caveat Emptor not been published, then chiropractic would have ceased to exist, literally ceased to exist. I remember chiropractors charging as little as $10 for a session because a lot of people didn't have any insurance or couldn't get insurance for chiropractic. In any case, I share that with you because on that same panel, or not a panel, in the debate in Chicago that day, and the guy said nothing in return, like he didn't know any of this. Sure, you don't know what's going on for 25 years in your basement. I think you do. It was about, well, fiber's good for cattle and pigs. That's it? So I did a survey before I went and found the average consumption of fiber in Connecticut per person was between 3 to 5 grams a day. Let me repeat that. 3 to 5 grams of fiber per day. That's a tiny amount of fiber. Why? Well, because the average American was on a high protein, high dairy, neither of which has fiber, diet. Lots of fats, lots of butter or margarine, and very little fruits or vegetables because we were told, well, fruits and vegetables don't have all 8 essential amino acids, essential that your body can't produce it. You have to bring it in. And so they're not that important. So they were considered like, you know, if you want to have some fruits and vegetables, fine, but it's not important. Your meat, that fish, chicken, dairy, that's important. And that white bread, yeah, that's important too. And that white mashed potatoes with the gravy, you do know what gravy is. It's boiled blood, cow's blood, that they throw salt and pepper in and some white flour. First time I never will forget this, had a terrible smell. And I'm in the other room, so I walk in the kitchen. I said, Mom, what's that smell? She says, oh, I'm just making some gravy. So I looked in the skillet, and she was putting flour in, and the blood was in this little box that you pour in like a soup. And she was pouring this blood in. It was very dark. And then she put salt and pepper in there and stirred it around. And I said, this is what we've been eating? Yeah, it's good for you. I said, it's not good. It's terrible. And I never ate that again. But everyone else, oh, do you remember people eating and then they would take the bread or muffin, whatever it was, little garbage thing, and they would wipe up all the gravy, all the drippings of fat from the beef and wolf that down. Well, all that led to constipation. Now, when you have a house of all guys and one toilet and dad goes in the toilet, And suddenly, no one else can get in. Dad, I've got to run to school. And of course, he's in there, I think, reading a phone book because he was so constipated. He could get through 900 pages of phone messages before he had finally cleansed himself. But everyone thought that was normal. Yeah, normal. Go into the toilet when you go to the bathroom, read War and Peace. Jesus. So, anyhow, that's from the diet. Now, here's the difference. If you're a vegan eating a healthy plant-based diet, you don't even have time to think. You in, out, and gone, done, cleaned up, and on for your day. You could do that. You could hold a stopwatch under 60 seconds. Boom, boom. But a lot of people were constipated. High-protein diet, terrible American diet. So I brought some studies from three people, a Dr. John Yutkin, the first professor of nutrition at any European university in London, a Dr. Dennis Burkett of Burkitt's Lymphoma, a leading physician in overseeing some 67 East African villages, and then also Dr. John Cleave. He was a medical doctor, and he was in the Royal Navy. And he talked about what he called the saccharine diet, which was a high plant-based diet. And I brought their studies showing that you need about 30 to 40 grams a day, not 3 grams. And if you have that, you won't be constipated. And then I also showed all that happens when you're constipated and you've had a meat-based diet. And I said some autopsies showed that when they emptied out the intestine of all the feces in there, there could be up to 13 pounds impacted in the average person's colon and rectum, and or up against the rectum and through the ascending, descending, and transverse colon. It's about 22 feet. And that's a lot of debris. Even if you're a thin person, you could still have this whole impacted colon. And then I use this as an example. Would you ever eat a piece of meat that had been sitting out in the sun at 97 degrees for 3 days? Well, of course, the answer is no. You'd die. What do you think the temperature of the intestine is after 3 days that the meat's in there, putrefying, not fermenting, with all bad bacteria, no healthy gut bacteria? And then you wonder why we have diverticulitis, spastic colon, hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids are due to constipation, and all these itises. You have what is called a toxic colon, and most people were not aware of that. I got a lot of feedback afterwards. In any case, after coming back from there, I went over to Great Britain, and I interviewed all three of those people. And it was, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Darling with Julie Christie, one of her first films. It was a really good film, and it was about a normal person who wants to get ahead in life and just starts climbing the social ladder, and her friend was a professor or broadcaster who will go out and find old and retired people who had made major contributions in their lifetime and sit and have a conversation with them. And the background was almost always one of these bucolic scenes with the famous, beautiful English gardens. They are indeed beautiful. And some wise man or woman be sitting there being interviewed about something that they specialized in their life. And then he played this. I just find that part of the movie I found great, because when I was in Great Britain and I went out to interview these people, that was exactly the scene. I mean, I remember pulling up to this beautiful cottage that was probably 150 years old, and butterflies everywhere, gorgeous gardens. And Dr. Cleave said, come, have a tea. So I sat there, turned on my tape recorder. And I'm in my 20s. He's in his 70s. And he said, the moment we were off into the ocean during the Second World War, for more than about 2 weeks, we'd run out of fresh fruits and vegetables. And then they had to go to canned. And they had a lot of preservatives, a lot of salt, a lot of sugar, and very little fiber. And the men would have constipation and be bloated and coming in all the time about these conditions. And he said, what you didn't want to do is give them laxative, because laxatives then become addictive. Yeah, they'll help you move your bowels, but then you can't move them without without the anti-constipation tablet. But when we got to shore, within 2 days, the people had cleaned their gut out and had lots of fiber and juices. And it made a lot of sense. But when he was talking to me, I kind of zoned out for a moment. I was just focused upon how beautiful this setting was. And it would match the setting of that reporter finding older people. Now, there's an idea for you. How about this? I'm going to do it a little aside. For the people in this audience, we have some wonderful citizen journalists. In fact, it's right now time to nominate for this year's awards from the International Society of Independent Investigative Journalists, the best investigations in a whole spectrum of categories. It's $1,000 prize and nice award, and a phenomenally famous group of some 22 jurists who judge this. I won't mention their names because you can't. Have to keep like the Academy Awards and other awards. You can't let anyone know who the judges are. Anyhow, it's very prestigious in all areas. So if you've read an article, if you've written an article, if you've done a film, if you have some collection of citizen journalist film, send it in to us and we'll get it into the right hands. But here's a suggestion for you. And I would put this on PRN. I believe it's time for us to find the most interesting people who've lived some of the most remarkable lives and who you can sit with and let them tell their story. Let them share their legacy. First, I believe that they would enjoy it very much. And secondly, I know all of us would enjoy it because we're going to learn things we would not otherwise know from people that we probably never have heard of. Most are not going to be famous, but who've done something remarkable that we might be inspired and motivated by. All based upon that one film. If you haven't seen the film, Darling, it's really a good film. Lawrence Harvey's in it. Alan Bates is in it. A young Alan Bates. I would like to see that as a program on a weekly basis. You know, conversations with unique minds. And by the way, talking about unique minds, this coming Tuesday night, the great and legendary Dr. Vandana Shiva is going to be my guest for an hour. And a little side there. So I'm doing a film up against Monsanto about how dangerous genetically modified organisms are. And yet they control the media. They control the court system. They intimidate the hell out of everybody, small farmers. And so I called her and said, I'd like to have you in here because you represent the voices of the indigenous cultures, the Indian subcontinent, the farming that goes back thousands of years, one of the finest farming systems in history, along with the Chinese and Japanese systems. And she said, sure. She said, okay. She said, let's do it next week, da-da-da. And I'm thinking, okay, good. And she said, I have a big organic farm. I said, great. We'd love to film it. Where are you? I'm at the base of the Himalayas. I thought, really? Okay, well, I'm on the west side of Manhattan. That's a little more than going to the east side of Manhattan to film someone. So we've got to fly out to the Himalayas, and there's no place near there, so you've got to fly out to one of the cities closer, and then you have to take a rackety bus ride that's takes you longer than the full state of Texas to get there. But we filmed there. What a place. Wow. I mean, it's just like, it's like a utopia. And I've never seen anything about it. So in any case, I give that just because she's going to be on, and she's one of those absolutely unique, remarkable human beings. And I'm going to ask her about what we can do to challenge the World Economic Forum. So that's, you don't want to miss that Tuesday night. In any case, go back to the topic at hand, and that is a lot of people are constipated because their diet, stress will tighten up real fast. And simple, what do you think happens in animals? What's one of the first things that happens when an animal's about to be killed? It's a prey, and the predator is after it. It empties its bowels. It wants every bit of energy and blood to go to its lungs and legs so it can flee, the fight or flight response. Now, that'll save lives, and does, but you shouldn't have that alarm turned on 24/7, and you're under stress. That's on 24/7, and that means you're not going to have normal digestion. That's why I always say, don't eat a meal if you're under stress. Instead, relax, listen to some soothing music like flute, and or just rain on a tin roof. You can get these. And just calm yourself down. Put yourself in a meditative place, then eat your food, because then you're not going to be bound up by the muscles tightening, and they will. So what's the solution? Well, according to the Kakarova University in Turkey, and by the way, it gets worse as you get older, and when you're not in good shape, it also gets worse. But this was a randomized controlled experiment, and they used something that has been historically used for a long time, aromatherapy. But it was a 15-minute aromatherapy massage for 5 weekdays for 4 weeks. And what they found was that taking the two simple oils and massaging them into your abdomen gently caused a substantial improvement in overcoming constipation. It softened the stool consistency. It decreased constipation substantially and reduced symptoms associated with the constipation, pain, gas, bloating, etc. And again, it was ginger and lavender oil, equal parts, massage into the hands, and you just massage it. You could do it yourself. And it's 15 minutes. You're breathing it in through aromatherapy, and it's on the body. From Emory School of Public Health, they show a link between regular attendance at religious services and health and longevity. I can just see the toes curling on all the atheists in the audience. The renal sphincter is just totally closed, but it's been closed. But they found in this paper, they looked at all the different attendances, regular attendance to religious services, and found that it improved health and lowered your risk of death from all causes. But hey, that's important, isn't it? You bet. University of Michigan's Health and Retirement Study, it was called. And they were looking at how quickly people die when they're alone or when they're disconnected, don't have means to relate to people, and versus when they believe in something. And of course, for those in our society who believe in not just the afterlife, but at living a high spiritual quality life in this life, they found a substantial, quote, substantial amount of protection against death from all causes for people who attend religious services once a week or more often. I wonder if that also applies to radio stations and Pacifica Network. See? Earlier death or longer life. There were no differences by religious affiliation, so it didn't matter what your affiliation was. And it also was for people who are not necessarily religious by going to a place, but rather are spiritual. So, that's good news. And finally, there is efficacy in acupuncture for urinary incontinence in women. Glasgow University, as well as Hong Kong Polytech University, the evidence regarding the efficacy of various forms of acupuncture for the treatment of urinary incontinence, which is very common, shows that acupuncture can make a difference. That's the latest on health and healing. And by the way, if you have arthritis, the Nimrala Medical Center in India says turmeric is better, more effective than any of the pharmaceutical treatments. Turmeric, which means curcumin for arthritis, turns off inflammation. And this was published in Phytotherapy Research. And by the way, don't cook foods at a high temperature, it increases your risk of prostate and breast cancer by 50%. This is another study. And so you don't want to increase your risk of cancer, heart disease, premature aging by eating foods that have been cooked at a high temperature, like your tempura dishes, your deep fried dishes, your barbecue dishes, your grilled dishes. Those high temperatures create mutagens. Those mutagens harm your DNA, and your DNA then makes you more susceptible to these cancers. It's called glycation end products, and they're toxic. More you have, the shorter you live. Just saying. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Today, I did a whole classroom on the air for 20 minutes on exercise. I've been doing a classroom on the air every day. It's not played on PRN, but I'm going to give you the information where you can go each day and download it and watch it. All right? I'm doing a whole library series, probably 100 different ones, taking, like yesterday was high blood pressure, and taking different conditions and then giving you the lay language presentation. And it's free, and I'll tell you where to go to watch those. I want to get our latest update because we're expanding all the different places that people can go and look at this stuff, download. And by the way, you can watch any of the things that we're dealing with today, and I hope you do watch, because you see the people and you see the charts and you see the proof of what they're presenting. All right? And just go to prn.live, go to where it says shows, then you'll see my show in the archive, and that's where you watch it. Now, one thing before we go to this is tomorrow I'm doing a show on energy medicine. You hear me talk about everything is energy, and the exchange of energy is what really matters, and the message that's in the energy you exchange may sound esoteric and something beyond people's comprehension. It's not. All over the world, people use energy medicine. When a mother kisses her baby, that's energy. And it's energy medicine because a mother in her kiss is picking up any microorganisms on the lips of the baby in the saliva, then taking it back in, and her breast is then creating an antibody to that, and it goes through the breast milk. That's just one single way, but there's a lot more to it than that. So tomorrow I'll give you that. Now, a couple things. There's a brand new Chinese study. We want to thank Jim Hoft for sharing this with us. And here's what it says, quote, Alex Bernstein warned earlier today that he had information on a new study that could end all booster shots immediately. On Wednesday night, Alex Bernstein posted information on a new study from China that shows four COVID jabs can send the immune system into complete collapse. Quote, this is from Science Direct. The repetitive application of vaccine boosters have been brought up in face of continuous emergence of SARS-2 variants with neutralizing escape mutations, but their protective efficacy and potential adverse effects remain largely unknown. Here we compared the humoral and cellular immune response of an extended course of recombinant receptor binding domain vaccine boosters with those of conventional immunization strategies. And it goes on to talk about the results. And it says, quote, our findings demonstrate potential risks for the continuous use of SARS-2 vaccine boosters, providing immediate implications for the global COVID vaccination enhancement strategies, meaning stop all boosters. But then again, almost everyone who's getting these have had all the boosters because it can cause your immune system to collapse. Quote, the damage extended past antibodies, the immune system's front line of defense against virus and bacteria, to the T cells that form the crucial backup. The researchers reported the findings in the peer-reviewed paper published December 22nd in the journal iScience in surprisingly clear language. They warned, quote, our findings demonstrate potential risk for the continuous use of SARS-2 vaccine boosters, providing immediate implications for the global COVID-19 vaccination enhancement strategies. And they were even more emphatic later because they went into what it does to your humoral immune system and your cellular immune system, and it's bad. So for all of the pro-vaccine people, just another piece of information from a high-qualified scientific study published in a highly respected scientific journal about the dangers of all the boosters that have been given to billions of people. Everything's wrong with this whole scenario, but people don't seem to be paying attention. And I hope you do, because it's important. And also, DeSantis did something interesting. Governor Ron DeSantis announced his latest medical freedom initiative called Prescribe Freedom during his press conference this week. Prescribe Freedom will make, quote, permanent in Florida statute many of the measures DeSantis has already put into place to protect the freedoms of citizens in the state. Quote, the biomedical security state became reality with the pandemic. But he said that there will be no mandatory vaccines, no COVID vaccine passports, COVID masks, or any of the COVID protocols, including attending school, all those are now gone in the state of Florida. So at least you have one state that says your body, your choice in the state of Florida, rather than mandates as they have in Washington State, Oregon, California, Vermont, New York, etc. So one place it's safe to be. Now we're going to go to a clip here, and I'll tell you why this clip is important. And for our team in New York in the studio, I'm going to just play a few minutes of this. Little background. There was a legislator, the second in the parliament, who took information from top Israeli immunologists and scientists and others, and he saw when he reviewed all the evidence, no politics involved, just information, that the people most likely to develop COVID and go to hospital and die were the vaccinated. In fact, the more vaccines you got, the more likely you were to have the adverse effects. So it wasn't an epidemic or pandemic of the unvaccinated. That was pure propaganda. This was the pandemic of the vaccinated. But then he focused upon children, where there's not a single scientific study in the world that says a child is going to be better protected by taking this than it would be put at danger from the side effects. And everything he said is 100% correct. But it's interesting, when we played the clip, and we just played it this week again, you'll notice something. The entire chamber is empty. Nobody wanted to be associated with this. But he said it. And then they hit him with everything they could. They took away his whip position as a leader, and they destroyed his reputation. All right, for telling the truth. For bringing us the truth, he risked his reputation, and now they've destroyed it. So a few people have spoken out about it, and here's one of those people speaking out, just a few comments, because what he did was right. We're trying to get him on the program, because he'll be thrown out of Parliament. He has no power at this moment, and the media is just attacking him. When you have this kind of concerted effort, instead of saying, hold on, you just said this, this, and this, where's your evidence? And he had it in his hand. He was showing it. Well, here's my evidence. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm telling what the leading scientists, who themselves are being attacked, are saying based upon quality studies they've done. All right, then why don't you have these scientists debate, bring them to Parliament and debate in open session, and then see what the public think and members of Parliament think. They won't do that. They won't debate, because if you got a lobotomy, you'd be smarter than any of the critics that are out there now of the unvaxxed. Let's hear what Ms. Hopkins has to say about this legislator.
I wanted to speak out in support of Andrew Bridgen, the British Tory MP who's just been eviscerated from the face of the planet and removed from the Conservative Party for wrongthink. Andrew has been joining those of us who have been speaking out against the vaccine and highlighting the issue with excess deaths and mortality in the UK right now and around the rest of the world. And there's some specific things I wanted to say because I've been through them and I know the steps that he's going through and I know what it's like. And the first thing to say is that usually in these times, what everybody does is run away from you. So when you are held up and you are executed in the public square for whatever your wrongthink is, people on your side who have been encouraging you or telling you that it's great that you're speaking out tend to just run for cover. Because as much as they might agree with you or think the same as you or have encouraged you to keep speaking out, they don't want this happening to them. So you find yourself suddenly very, very alone. The second thing I wanted to say was that it doesn't matter what Andrew Bridgen said, in the sense that they were just looking for an outrage hook, something to hook their outrage on. The point is, he wasn't allowed to speak out against the vaccine. So it doesn't matter then, whatever phrases he used, whether it was about the Jewish community or the Muslim community or any other community, you gave them an outrage hook. I know this at a personal level. When people are out to silence you, the last thing you can afford to give them is an open goal, which is exactly what I did when the same thing happened to me at LBC. The next thing I wanted to talk about is after you've committed the wrong thing, people are just waiting for the open goal. They are just waiting for you to give them that outrage hook. And so by doing that, you make their jobs very easy. Now, as I said, because my outrage hook also involved very loosely the Jewish community through the use of words, there is a very specific group of people who will have come for Andrew Bridgen. And it is a coordinated brute squad that come in and they hack away from the kneecaps. And I can list them here because they're the very same brute squad that came for me.
Okay, now in the United States, we had Twitter, Facebook, Wikipedia, and Google. They're the ones who hack away at a person's reputation. They're the ones who look for something you've said or done now or in the past and try to destroy you. And yet at the same time, they never once, 60 Minutes won't look for the truth in someone being attacked. Have you seen Dr. Malone, Dr. Cole, America's greatest pathologist on there? Have you seen the world's greatest living cardiologist with the most papers cited in world literature on cardiology and nephrology, Dr. McCullough? No. No, you won't. Why? Because they would just wipe the floor with science. These are smart people, smarter than anyone else in what they do. They're the best. And for 40 years, they've been acknowledged as the best until they made the mistake of challenging something about the vaccines. And then suddenly, when the cardiologist starts saying, hey, these myocarditis, this is not rare. This is common now. Can't say that. But your own science shows it, the science you hid from us and then wanted to keep hidden by FDA decree for 76 years. Doesn't matter. No one will hear you. You will be that tree in the forest that falls. Nobody will hear you, therefore you don't exist. So just want to put this in perspective because they've done it to everyone. Edward Snowden, he told the truth. And Caracal and all the rest. They all told the truth. All the whistleblowers told the truth. So what kind of a society are we? What are we? Is this the 1950s and Joe McCarthy, the sociopath, is ranting with Roy Cohn, his little lawyer beside him, attacking people, destroying them without any thought? Yeah, we're there. Where's the American public saying you can't keep doing this? But they are, because the American public is not saying anything. So at what point do we start to turn that mirror around and say, this is not a Roman gladiator fight where you're in the safety of the bleachers and you're looking down at those who will live or die? We're using life today like it's a virtual reality, where we're disconnected from it. Somehow we can turn a switch and everything's different, but it isn't. And for those people who've told the truth, the whistleblowers, they've uncovered crimes, yet they're the criminal and they go to jail. The people they expose are rewarded and given a better position in society or the government. What's wrong with this? How about everything? And also, I'm going to give a shout out now to Joe Rogan. Please see that he gets this. I'm sure someone in the audience watches him and say, here's my thoughts. Joe, you got the biggest audience in America, more than any television show. Second only is Tucker Carlson. And you bring on some very interesting people, and that's good. And you give them a long form, and that's even better. And you let your audience know some of the things that are so creepy about the media and the government on all issues, and that's needed. But here's what I have a question about. It confuses me. I haven't seen you ask that 11, 12 million people who watch you every day join you at protesting and standing outside of the Wikipedia and ask them to go away from Wikipedia, walk away, or to challenging and go off Google or Facebook, or do a demonstration in front of the Justice Department, the FBI, for his crimes, which are known and patentable. There's so many they perfected. I haven't seen one. Do you ever intend to engage your audience, or is this just another example of the movie Facing the Crowd with Patricia Neal and Andy Griffith? The guy from the could sing and was down to earth, had a massive audience, but nothing good came from it. I don't see the good coming. Just informing people with information does not turn the switch that allows them to become motivated. So you got a lot of people learning something and don't apply it. That's a silent majority. It doesn't matter what their background, working class or whatever. The least likely to do anything constructive for society is the professional class. That's what I have observed. I never see them, with a few token examples, at any of the demonstrations. I've led over 150 demonstrations, some with as many as 10,000 people walking with us to Washington, D.C. over a 10-day period, culminating in front of the White House in Lafayette Park, which is right across the street, about challenging GMOs. But the average person wanted their GMO. They didn't care about the truth or what they were eating. They didn't care about what it could do to their body. The average person is obese. They don't care that they're at greater risk of dying young. The average child won't outlive their parent because their parents allowed them to eat garbage. Well, is that child neglect? You bet it is. But we won't say that because we're cowards. We're a nation of cowards. And I'm sick of it. So at the one hand, what would happen to your ass if someone who wasn't braver was out there fighting on your behalf? How do you think it feels for all the activists? And I'm going to ask Vandana Shiva this on Tuesday, because she's always out there. And my God, the police beat her up when she was invited as a keynote speaker at Davos, and she saw people protesting. So she went out to join the protesters, Davos, and the police beat her up. And they wouldn't apologize. Nobody would apologize. She's not been back. How does it feel to get beaten up for people who don't give a damn about you? You go fight the fights. Make sure we're not involved. We don't want to give up our credentials. We don't want to give up anything. We're into comfort. We're addicted to comfort. We become comfort. We're living at the far end of the hedonic scale of absolute decadency. I see. We're not protesting how grown adults can sexually fantasize about children. Now that's legitimate and shouldn't be criminalized. I see. And we don't care if we become the fattest nation on earth in history. I see. And our children are dying young and have arthritis and heart disease, and no one wants to point a finger and say, why don't you just stop being and eating the diet? Why don't you learn something? I didn't know. Did you want to know? That's irrelevant if I want to know. I don't know. So don't make me responsible for anything that I don't do that's right. And I want to be rewarded for doing what everyone else does, and that is stay silent, stay a majority. Stay entertained, bread and circuses. We're the people that are going to ask for thumbs up, thumb down. By the way, that never actually happened. There was no such thing as a thumb up, some thumb down. But that's a different issue. When are we going to get a Joe Rogan to get his 11, 12 million people out and do something that allows empowerment of the minority to force change or to say, you can't keep doing this. You can't keep spying on us. You can't keep listening to our phone calls. You can't be asking us to do something that is not in our best interest. You can't say, my body, my choice, and then not allow my body, my choice when it comes to the food we eat or the vaccines we take or don't take. Just a thought. Because otherwise, what is the good of anything if it's never acted upon? And then we'll just have another Ed Sullivan hour, but today it's not Ed Sullivan, it's Joe Rogan. Joe, I'd like to see some of these demonstrations. I'd like to see you and your audience. Your thoughts, 888-874-4888. Now, we're going to go to part four of showing you, and again, there's no media on this whatsoever. Nothing. Zero. But here's the fact. The woman you're about to hear, that we've played three previous clips, she worked in the industry for 26 years, and she worked on these pharmaceutical studies. She worked for the pharmaceutical industry as a private contractor. She knows everything about them, and she was able to find the documents that show that behind everything with COVID, everything is the Defense Department, the military-industrial complex. Well, if she could find this, surely the good reporters with all their contacts, New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, maybe even a Rachel Maddow, could find the truth if they wanted to. Well, she has the truth. Does it matter or not? Let's hear what she has to say in part four.
Was in charge or is in charge of COVID policy and not the Health and Human Services. So that was a very strange response to public health, what was presented as a public health event to us, to put National Security Council in charge of COVID policy. So National Security Council is an executive forum for foreign policy and national security to the President of the United States, and it does not include health-related agencies as normal attendees. And regular attendees, as you can see listed here, include a lot of defense, so Vice President, Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, Secretary of Defense, Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Director of National Intelligence. So the attendees of this National Security Council are primarily defense and intelligence. It has nothing to do with health. And health, public health agencies do not participate in this.
So this would indicate... this would indicate to me, and I wonder if you asked anyone this question, that from the very beginning, the United States government knew that this was a bioweapon attack.
Absolutely.
This was not a health emergency, that it was a security, a national security emergency.
Absolutely, they did. And actually, recently, their article came out with another set of documents and contracts awarded by the Department of Defense to vendors who were doing work for them in Ukraine 3 months before the global pandemic was announced. And those contracts were specifically for COVID-19 research.
Yeah, it's really stunning, the picture that it begins to present, right? Because what it tells us is, well, and first of all, that we were denied this information. The public was never told that. Part of the problem here is, we want our intelligence agencies and the Department of Defense to recognize if there is an attack on this country. But finding out that months in advance you're doing commissioning this kind of research, that when this hits, you don't tell the country that there is a national security imperative to this, and then you allow the impression to persist that the health agencies are dealing with this because it's a health emergency, you're deceiving the people. Of this country. You're deceiving our leaders. You're deceiving doctors and nurses, the whole medical community. I mean, everybody is deceived by this.
Absolutely. Remember at the beginning, you were not even allowed to question the narrative that this was a zoonotic or some sort of
Yes,
naturally
some zoonotic
evolved.
where it went from animals to humans. Yes,
Right.
in the bat market, right?
Yeah,
In Wuhan.
in the Wuhan in wet market, this was a zoonotic, totally natural evolution of virus jumping from animal to human, and you were not even able to question it at all at the beginning. They were suppressing and hiding this information. So now we have the set of facts. The DoD knew. They awarded work for this several months before this pandemic emerged. Then they knew that this was not natural, and they knew this was a biowarfare agent being deployed. And then they covered it up and pretended it was a zoonotic origin virus. So that's a set of facts that's indisputable here.
Yes.
Yummy.
And one other thing here, Alara, that you have to note is also the secrecy surrounding the ingredients of the vaccine, because the intellectual property is protected by these protocols laid out here. It actually protects other organizations and the taxpayer from knowing what's in these vaccines, isn't the injections. Isn't that correct, Sasha?
Yes, correct. So under that other transaction authority, as I mentioned before, that allows them to not only hide the IP from the US government overall, but basically DoD can now hide the technology and IP from let's say, for example, FDA or HHS in general. So there's a lot of secrecy that's enabled
Why?
by this.
Why the secrecy, do you think?
The secrecy is because it's their own. So I strongly believe, my opinion, given all these facts today, is that DoD is together with other government agencies, US government agencies, are running this biowarfare against American people and against people of the world themselves. That's why they wanted to cover it up for so long, because they built this biowarfare agent, they deployed it. And then they deployed the injections. So it's a two-part biowarfare agent. So they deployed initial part, which is probably not as effective because we know that biological agents, they denature and outside and they're not very effective, don't affect a lot of people. But the most effective part is when you inject somebody with it. And so that was the whole plan. They needed to people line up voluntarily, get injected, and that's why they play acted this whole thing for several years, like this.
So, Sasha, to be clear, you're saying that the original virus was created as a bioweapon.
You're listening to Laura Logan interview Sasha Latpova, Latypova. Now, whether she can prove that it was intentional or not, in my opinion, remains to be seen. What we do know and can be proven, because it's in writing, is an article that was written by the Chinese Department of Defense using some 99 separate PhD virologists in a lab that was associated with the Wuhan lab. And they were actually using work that was done at the Wuhan lab. And that work was sponsored in part by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, Anthony Fauci, and Dr. Derek down at the University of North Carolina. And some other people that were getting the money and grants over a long period of time. This just didn't start in 2019. This goes clear back to 2014 or before. And their intent, the Chinese intent, the government's intent, the Defense Department intent was to make it a biological weapon. Now, no one's asked those questions because the Chinese will not allow those people to be interviewed. They will allow no documents. Everything that they had written up to that point had been erased. But we do have people that have worked in China, who are virologists, who have also stated this. So, again, everything up to that point, I would agree with. I still believe that that part has to be proven. But clearly, Fauci and others are up to their necks in this, and they've lied about it under oath. Let's hope that hearings come up, that all the people she's mentioned and all the documents she has provided are put into that committee so they can put these people under oath. We're out of time for WBAI. Thank you all for listening to BAI. We're going to continue on to the top of the hour with your calls and more information at 888-874-4888. Now, for those of you who are sticking on, please give us a call. I'd like to hear what you think. And also, what do you think about all these people like a Joe Rogan, or even for that matter, Tucker Carlson, bringing their audience on, let's say, a given issue, whatever they choose, and having people not just support it by showing up, but protest it. And the way you protest against the big companies and big corporations is you don't buy stock in the companies they control. You sell the stock and you get off their grid. It does no good. It's hypocritical if you're reading their newspaper and subscribing to their services and using their insurance companies and paying their phone services. Everywhere you look, you're connected with the very people who are trying to control more and more of your life. And I don't believe we suffer from Stockholm Syndrome. I believe we suffer from hubris and indifference. I'd like your thoughts on this. Oh, and by the way, I have something brand new. In fact, I just got word a few minutes ago. It just arrived. And I've been waiting on this for a long time, but it took a long time to get all the ingredients together. A brand new product, one that I'm very happy to be able to share with you today. And here it is. Energy stuff, brand new. Now, you talk about all the energy drinks that are out there. Yeah, with lots of caffeine and ingredients. Why don't you look at the side effects of people who drink those? Let me tell you what's in my energy stuff. I've got electrolytes, a special blend of magnesium citrate, sodium citrate, potassium citrate, D-ribose, L-taurine, L-arginine, creatine monohydrate, green tea, cordyceps mushroom, acetyl L-carnitine, Panax ginseng, ginkgo biloba extract, L-carnosine, rhodiola rosea root, cayenne, coenzyme Q10, and vitamin B12. Yeah, and it tastes like orange juice, all right, because they use natural orange flavor. How about that? All right, even organic stevia is in there. So this is what you're getting. You're getting, quite simply, one of the finest natural, all-natural energy drinks you can have. And for those of you who are suffering from a lack of energy for any reason, or those of you who want to go out for an exercise and make sure you have that extra energy for your bike ride or your swimming or your jogging or power walking, take a scoop of this. And just the people who think, I don't have the energy I once had. Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. Lack of mitochondria, and lack of eating healthily. But here's something you can do that's all positive. And it is all positive. Energy stuff. And we have it. All right. And by the way, we just got in today also in the same shipment, immune stuff. It's been out of stock for about 4 months. It's back in stock now, immune stuff. But brand new energy stuff. And this is as pure and as potent. And when I create a formula, I send it over to the blenders, and then they have to go out and they have to find the ingredients. And then they give me a price, and they say, here's what the raw material is going to cost you for us to put it in get it ready for canning. Then it has to go to a separate place. Just that one place charges about $3.50 just to put the powder into a jar. But in any case, I did not pass on the additional cost to you. So this whole product is $49.95. That's it for a big container. All right? It's called energy stuff. Just ask yourself, would you rather have a cup of coffee or a cup of caffeinated tea or sugar or a soft drink or an energy drink that you get in the stores? And what do you know about the side effect? Well, one of my doctoral dissertations was on caffeineism. 2 years of research in the laboratory, I wrote my dissertation based on that. That was published in a peer-reviewed journal. That was a long time ago. As I've said many times, coffee, if it were shown to be all that it is today, would be banned. So you got your choice where you're going to get your energy, especially when your adrenal glands are shot or substantially adversely affected because of all the stress you're under. So if you want to get that energy back, shouldn't it be natural? Shouldn't it be something with no side effects? Shouldn't it be something that it can be sustained? Shouldn't it be something that works in your natural body biochemistry? So I've provided the best that I can. There is nothing I'm aware of that even comes close to this. So this is the real McCoy. Where else are you going to get your coenzyme Q10, your cordyceps mushroom, your Panax ginseng, your ginkgo biloba extract, your rhodiola rosea, your creatine monohydrate, your electrolyte blend, your D-ribose, your L-taurine, your L-arginine, your green tea extract, and everything else that's in here. Where are you going to get it? Acetyl-L-carnitine. Yeah. L-carnosine, cayenne, B12. It's all in here. No blend ever like it. The most comprehensive, all-inclusive, synergistic blend on helping you with energy. It's called Energy Stuff. So here's what you do. If you want it, you can do it three ways. One, you can just go up on GaryNall.com and scroll down, and you can order it. That's one thing. That's relatively easy to do. All right? So you can order it yourself. Now, I didn't know whether people would want this or not, so I didn't make a lot of it, all right? So I got in just 1,000 cans. That's it. And it takes me about 3 months to get it back in inventory. So those who want it will call and get it. So here's what you do. You can call Neil in our vitamin department, and you can get it from Neil. Or you can go up and get it yourself. Neil is at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. And it's under $50 plus shipping and handling. Or you can order 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Unless you are boundless in your energy, in which case you don't need this. But if you're like everyone else, you can use it. And those of you who are athletic, take a scoop of this before you go out for your exercise and see how you feel at the end of your exercise and how well you recover. Just test it on yourself, all right? 877-627-5065. We're out of time, everyone. I wish you all a very nice weekend. Boy, we got some great shows lined up for next week. Have a nice day.